I don't mean about that. All right, so let's start the Mishnah. Haba b'machteres nidon Hashem sofo. So a person who's baba machteres is judged based on his ending. So Rashi here has an interesting line in the Mishnah already. Right, what's Rashi's line in the Mishnah? Haba b'machteres she'omra Torah yehareg. So in the future, we're going to have a major discussion of what the status of the Baba Machteres is vis-a-vis the regular din of Rodef. Right? That's an important halacha because the next Mishnah on Ayin Gimel and Aleph is Ve'eluhein Shematzilin Osan Ben Afshon. Right? And the first one is HaRodef Achar Chavero Lehorgo. Right? And it's all kinds of Rodef cases. Either a person is Rodef to kill, Achar HaZachar V'Achar Na'amaras, a person is Rodef to rape. So this is a classic examples of Rodef. The question is going to be, what is a Baba Machteres? Is he another example of a Rodef, or is he perhaps his own guy? So Rashi says right away, Ha Baba Machteres, Shamra Torah Yehareg. He should be killed. So is that his punishment? Is that just a fact? Like, in fact, the Torah does say he is killed, right? You translate the word Yehareg as in that he gets killed, or that he should be killed? These are important things to figure out. But I'm just trying to plant some seeds for the future in terms of that. Okay? So, we said that he's nidon al shem sofo, and as we mentioned, I think, on the first day of Shir, so what does it mean, nidon al shem sofo? He's judged based on the cheshbon that the Gemara makes, and that's why Baba Machteres finds its way into this parak. If you recall, we pointed out, I forgot already who we quoted, the Meiri? I think the Meiri said that what's Baba Machteres doing in this parak? So we said, well, what's Ben Sor HaMara doing? So Ben Sor HaMara was a hemshech of the previous Mishnah, since it had a lot of halachas associated with it. And then what's Baba Machteres doing here? So Baba Machteres, since we said Ben Sor HaMara Nidon Hashem Sofo, so we threw in the other cases of Nidon Hashem Sofo, and then eventually, since we talked about Baba Machteres, we also talked about regular Rodef. And that basically closes out the Perek. So and then there's another detail which is very important. We're going to have to discuss at length. Hayababa machteres v'shibra esachavisim yesh lo damim chayavim ein lo damim potter. Right. So if you guys are familiar with these terms, ein lo damim and yesh lo damim. That's straight out of the Torah. Right. In Parshas Mishpatim, it discusses cases where it's ein lo damim and cases where it's yesh lo damim. If he has blood, meaning you can't kill him, and if he has no blood, means you can kill him. Meaning if he has no blood, it's ki'ilu he's not alive already. That's what we call in halacha, gavra ketila. A gavra ketila means a walking dead man. Right? So one of the interesting scientific facts about dead men who are not actually dead is that if a person is considered al pi halacha, gavra ketila, you can't kill him. What do I mean you can't kill him? Meaning, if you kill him, it's not as if you killed him. Right? Sounds confusing? It's not that bad. Actually, right? You can't kill a dead person. You can't kill a person who's already dead. Right, you're not actually accomplishing anything. So if the halacha views him as already being dead, and you kill him, you didn't actually do anything. Yes?
What about the status of someone who halachically died, then suddenly come back to life?
Right. And he wasn't dead.
Right. Well, he was ruled halachically dead.
Right.
So, if you still then he would go kill someone. What would be his status?
No, meaning, like, what do you mean halachically dead? If he was
thrown into a grave.
That's not dead. No, I'm talking about a gavra ketila. You're talking about a guy who was sleeping. That's not the same thing. I'm saying a guy who was just asleep, or he got poisoned and whatever, and his metabolism was running at a very low rate. He's still alive. I'm saying if he's halachically dead, it means that you say that he has brainstem death, or he has, like, that's a debate in terms of medical halacha. What's considered dead, and you know. All right, so that's for all the people to debate. But again, if the person's alive, he's alive. That's not the fact that he. Correct. So I'm saying that's a halachic thing that we're talking about here of Ein Lo Damim. We're not talking about a guy who scientifically was thought perhaps mistakenly to be dead, and now it turns out that he wasn't. That's a regular guy. Saying. Okay. All right. So now we have to figure out where does the Nidon al Shem Sofo come from? So the Gemara starts off, Amar Rava, my time at the Machteres, Chazaka in the Mamet Atzma Mamono, Vahai Me Maromar, I Azil Nakoil Apoi, Velo Shavik Li. If I come, he'll get in my face and he won't leave me be. He won't allow me to do what I want, which is rob him. And if he gets into my face, I will kill him. And the Torah says, if he comes to kill you, you should first beat him to the punch and you should kill him. This is a great question, first of all. I'm going to do the last Maram Kolmos first just because they're quickies. Rashi on Chumash seems to answer this question. Apparently, I saw it quoted in the name of the Aruch. The Aruch is Rishon, sometimes quoted by Tosfos. It's a Talmudic dictionary. It's the first ever Talmudic dictionary written by one of the Rishonim. And he has a comment here. He says, it says, Vahatora Amra imbor lahargecha hashkem lahargo. Where on earth in the Torah does it say that? What's the pasuk?
The guy selling it to your house.
Oh, so that's the... So Rashi on Chumash, Rashi a little bit here as well, right? So Rashi alludes to it, as I'll show you in a second, right? Rashi on Chumash says, this is where we learn in Bala Hargecha Hashkem Lahargo. When the Gemara says Vahatora Amra, it's not referring to any other place in the Torah where it says it. It means, from here we learn in Bala Hargecha Hashkem Lahargo. Right, so that's the opinion of the Aruch, that's the opinion of Rashi and Chumash. It could also be what Rashi means in the Gemara. I assume this Rashi, my time at the Machteris. So Rashi starts off on the Gemara. What is the reason for the din of Baba Machteris? It says, She'omra Torah ein lo damim. Klomar harei lecha kemish ein lo dam, u'neshama, u'mutter lehorgo. Meaning, what's the reason for Baba Machteris that the Torah says it's mutter to kill him? Meaning, this is the source. There is no other source for the din of Habor lahargecha hashkem lahargo. There's the Meiri. If you get a chance, you should check it out. The Meiri in the opening of this sugya, we call it the Diramaskal HaMishnah HaChamishis, right? The fifth Mishnah. There he talks about this Mishnah. Says that's not the source. That when the Gemara says Torah Amra, it's referring to somewhere else in the Torah. So okay, so that for whatever reason, the Gemara took for granted that you knew this, but we didn't. Right? We don't know where else the Torah says it. So the Meiri fills you in. It's in next week's Parsha, in Parshas Matos, when the Jews are told to go out and fight the Midyanim. Right? Next week's Parsha has a lot of random halachos based on the war against the Midyanim. Right? The Midyanim in last week's Parsha had gotten the Jews to sin with the Chet of Baal Peor, giving over their daughters as prostitutes for the Jews to sin with and getting them to worship Baal Peor. So the Jews took revenge, quote unquote, against the Midianites. But it's interesting, the Meiri says it doesn't say that exactly in the pasuk. It says Tsror es Hamidyanim, Hitzoririm Haim Lochem. Right? I'll give you the official, unofficial translation of that pasuk. I can find it in the next 10 seconds. Right. So first Hashem says, take revenge for them, right? And then Moshe, where is it here? I can't find it. I thought it was, you guys know what I'm talking about though? Oh, beginning of Pinchas, sorry, I was thinking of the one in Matos. You're right, so it's this week's parsha, even better. What? Right. I was thinking for some reason the beginning of Matos of the Pasuk that says, Vaydarash, Nikom Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Me'eis HaMidyanim. Right? That's a different, that's the other one. But it's in the opening Aliyah here. Right? Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Limor, Sororis HaMidyanim V'ikisem Osam Kitzo Ririm Heim Lachem B'nichlehem Asher Niklu Lahem Al Dvar Pa'or. Right, Valdvar, Kozbibas, and Simidyan, etc. Right, so what does Art Scroll say here? Harass the Midianites and smite them, for they harassed you through their conspiracy. So that makes a lot of sense, but is it a literal translation? And all the Tanakh teachers like to point out that Art Scroll rarely translates Psukim literally.
I have the JPS translation.
All right, try the JPS. I don't know. You know.
Is that
in Rishon? Yeah. Perik Chafhei.
Right under
Rabbi. Pasik Yudches. Perkhafe Pasik Yirchas. So see how we're doing?
Alright. For they harass you by their
that's important. Read it again. Start from the beginning.
For they harass you?
For they harass you. not they harassed past tense. They are currently doing so. You understand? The word sorerim is present tense. Right? It's not past tense. So the art scroll, I don't know if they're reading it according to, where is it here in Rashi? Kitzorim heim advar por. Shehefkiru b'noseyem liznos kidei lad. Right. So Rashi seems to be reading it in the past tense. Part of the pasuk has to be in the past tense, right? Because it's talking about something that already happened. But lemaisa, the word is kitzoririm heim lachem. They are currently harassing you, right? Oh, and in the English stone chumash part, it says, the constancy of this commandment is implied by the infinitive word form of the word tsaror, to harass. Thus, it implies an ongoing state of mind rather than instructions to do something tangible. Oh, no, that's something else. Forget it. All right, so is it, art scroll doesn't have it. Art scroll has it as a past tense word, right? Right. No, so it says here in this translation, harass the Midianites and smite them, for they harass you. Meaning they currently do so. So that's what the way Meiri is learning the pasuk also. The Meiri said, we learn from here. Tsaroris and Midianim, you have to go fight the Midianites. Why? Because they're now fighting you. And that's where we learn the din in the Gemara of Haba lahargecha, hashkem lahargo. You have to go out to war against them, because if you leave them alone, they're going to come and get you. You understand? And that's the idea. It's not that we're dafka taking revenge. So the way you would have to read the whole pasuk would be, go out and fight them because they're constantly fighting you and they're currently fighting you. How do I know? Because look at what happened with Baal Peor and Cosby Bas Tzur. That's the point. Meaning the second half of the pasuk is not the reason why you're fighting them. The second half of the pasuk is the raya that if you allow them to sit pat and just scheme against you, we're going to have more of that. You understand? And therefore, he says that's the source in the Torah for all of these things. That's the source in the Torah for Bava Machteres. That's the source in the Torah for killing the Rodef. And it's very important, meaning it's a clear case of Abol Argecha, Shkem Lahargo, that's outlined by the Torah.
Maybe not concerned if he comes to kill you and you have the right to kill him, no one else.
Oh, so that's going to be a major nafkamina between, perhaps, according to some Rishonim, between Rodef versus Bav Machteres. Meaning if a Bav Machteres is a classic Rodef, then anyone's allowed to kill. Meaning if a guy's running after somebody with a gun, you don't have to be like, he's not really going to bother me, so it's okay that I'll just let him go about his business. You know. But no, you have a chiyuv to save the nirdaf by killing the Rodef or by stopping the Rodef. What?
You call it out from this thing. This is only applicable if someone's trying to kill you.
Well, the Gemara uses the phrase "Habol lahargecha, hashkem lahargo." So, depending on how you understand that, could be by Bav Machteres, you're only allowed to kill the guy if you are the balabais. But maybe if you're just some random bystander, you can't. And then you would have to say that Rodef is a different limud. Rodef that everybody has to come and try to save the near duff. I mean, you'll see the Gemara that talk about by Nara Murasa, Ve'ein Moshiela, there's no one to save her. Meaning, it doesn't mean like, and she can't save herself. There's no one to save her. Right? So it's a mashma that if anyone is around, of course they have to try to save her. Right? So that's different. Okay, Lamaisa, so this is a machlokes between Rashi on Chumash and perhaps Rashi here as well, right? And the Aruch versus the Meiri's way of learning it, which is from this week's parsha. Everybody clear on this so far? Nothing fancy. Okay, good. So now let's talk about this chazaka. Let's talk about this chazaka for a second. There is a chazaka. First of all, what does the word chazaka mean?
Assumption.
Fair enough. Right? The term chazaka is usually a halachic terminology for ruba delesa kaman. What's a ruba delesa kaman? Meaning if you would stop someone on the street, the average person would be this way. If you would take a poll, then the majority of people would answer as follows. That's the standard understanding of chazaka. Usually means ruba delesa kaman. There's a famous and very important sefer. It's not really a full sefer, but it's been published now separately as its own sefer called the Psicha Kolelis. Anybody ever seen it? It's very hard to learn on its own, but some publishing companies, at least the one I have, is publish some really, really fantastic footnotes which explain the whole Sefer. The Prima Gadim, I believe his name is Rav Yosef Ta'omim, Prima Gadim, which is a major commentary on Shulchan Aruch. You guys ever learn any Prima Gadims? You know, when you're older, when you learn Shulchan Aruch, you have to learn Prima Gadim also. Prima Gadim basically is it's what you call a super commentary. Right? I never knew what that was for the longest time. I was like, why do some commentaries get to just be commentaries and one get to be super commentaries? Anybody know what the difference is between a commentary and a super commentary?
A commentary and a commentary.
Correct, very good. Rashi is a commentary, and the Sifsei Chachamim, or the Gur Aryeh, is a super commentary, because they comment on Rashi. You understand?
The Mishnah Lamelech.
Right, the Mishnah Lamelech. No, the Mishnah Lamelech is just a regular commentary.
Isn't he on the Rambam?
Yeah, the Rambam's not a commentary, it's its own Sefer. Saying, Tah, if you're a brisker, so the Rambam is like Rashi on Shas. But Lamaisa, it's its own Sefer, it's a self-contained unit. You could just learn Rambam if you wanted to. Right, so the Prima Gadim is a super commentary. It's a commentary on the Noseh Kelim on Shulchan Aruch. Meaning, if you learn Orach Chaim, so you have the Shach and the Magen Avraham. Excuse me, you have the Taz and the Magen Avraham on the side of the page. So he has a commentary on every single Sifkatan in the Taz and every single Sifkatan in the Magen Avraham, which is very, very lengthy. He wrote a lot. And they're called by different names. The commentary on the Magen Avraham is called Eshel Avraham, and the commentary on the Turei Zav is called Mishpito Zav. And on Yoredeya, he has on the Shach and the Taz, and he doesn't have on all of Yoredeya, but on Yoredeya, he has the Mishpito Zav on the Taz, and he has the, Das Kohen? Forgot already. Sifsei Das. He has the Sifsei Das on the Shach, which is the Sifsei Kohen. Right? Okay, Lamaisa. Prima Gadim is a very, very important sefer. He also wrote a ton of other svarim on like random topics. And he has a commentary on Shas also called Rosh Yosef. And he wrote the introduction to this Prima Gadim called the Psicha Kolelis, where he just gives you tons and tons and tons of Shas rules. Just like, not just Shas, Shulchan Aruch, Halacha, everything. If you want to know a lot of stuff, it's very worthwhile to spend, you know, if you're in yeshiva and you have an hour a day where you just want to like gain a ton of knowledge, so it's very worthwhile to do the Psicha Kolelis. I don't recommend doing it without the footnotes because he just like tosses around Myron McComas.
It's like super commentaries.
Yes, that would be a double super commentary. But he's basically just, he has two parts. The footnotes that I use, I forgot the name of the author, but he did a fantastic job. He has the Myron McComos that are actually being quoted. He writes them out mostly in their entirety. And then he has, you know, Stam Iyunim on the comments that are made. So even you could save the Iyunim and not have to worry about it, you still learn a lot, you know? Anyway, whatever. Lysa, so the Prima Gadim, the Psicha Kolelis, talks about the term Chazaka, and I think he comes up with at least 8 different definitions for the term Chazaka as it's found in Shas. So the word Chazaka doesn't always mean the same thing. It's very important to keep that in mind. It could mean up to, like, or including at least 8 different things. So here, Mestama, the word chazaka means ruba delesa kamon. That the average person, when stopped on the street, would agree with this statement. That ein adam mamid atzmo al mamon. Okay, so we're going to have to revisit that definition soon. But for starters, so what does Rashi say is the pshat here? Ein adam mamid al mamon. Shaharoa she'achar notlo v'shosik. Right? That he's going to see that someone is taking his money, he's going to remain silent. That doesn't happen. Hilkoch, yodea aganav hazeh, shebal habayis omed al mamono, lo hatzilo. Umeimer amar aganav, I azilna legabei koi ba'apoi. V'ikoi katilna le. If he gets up against me, right? If I go to his house, he's going to get up against me, and if he gets up against me, I will kill him. V'amr lecha Torah, ein lo damim. Since at the end of the day, when the guy makes the whole cheshbon, he is essentially coming to kill you. So once he's coming to kill you, you can precede him and kill him first. I just want to give you an understanding of what this looks like. It looks very bad. If somebody would take a video of this, it would look really bad for the Baal HaBayis. Again, guy steps into the house. He's got a little flashlight, whatever. He's looking around. He's got a black ski mask on. Looking around, trying to find things, putting things in a bag. Then all of a sudden, you see the Baal HaBayis come behind him, slip a knife, and cut his throat. That's what happens. That's what it looks like when the Bab Machteris is killed. There's no actual confrontation that takes place. It's just the Baal HaBayis killing the Bab Machteris.
Just according to Rashi, meaning the way he looks at the Chazaka, because if that's what most people do, that's not actually the Halacha, right? Because he's saying the Chazaka is that the Baal HaBayis isn't coming to Ghana for fear of his life, he's coming to Ghana for fear of his stuff being taken away, right? And Rashi says you can't kill for that reason, meaning he's just using the Chazaka to say that's why the Ghanaf will kill you, right?
The Rashi is saying because the Ghanaf makes this Cheshbon in advance, so he will come having in mind, he'll be armed and dangerous.
All right.
So we assume a person is... But guys, first of all, it's important. I didn't mention this before. What is a Bab Machteris?
Somebody tunnels in.
He tunnels in, meaning he put time and effort. It's not somebody who finds the door open necessarily. A guy finds the door open, this might not apply to. A guy put time and effort and planning into this robbery. So he cheshbened a lot of things out in advance. One of the cheshbonos that he made, according to Rashi, is, I am coming armed and dangerous. Because I know that this person will not allow me to just rob him, and if he sees me robbing him, he's just going to hide under the bed. It's not going to happen. So the Ganav knows the Chazaka, since the Ganav knows the Chazaka, he is going to come al iskei nefashos. That's the idea. Okay? So is that help you in any way?
Just be clear. The Rashi doesn't actually pass him like the Chazaka, right? Because the Chazaka is that you'll kill to protect your stuff, and Rashi would say you can only kill to protect your life, right?
Rashi doesn't talk about anybody killing anybody in the Chazaka. What's the Chazaka? This person will not simply stand by and allow me to rob him.
Right.
And then the Ganav says, and if he stands up and tries to chase me out of his house, I will kill him. So since the Ganav cheshbened that the Ganav wants to kill the guy to stop him from being, you know, from forcing him out of the house, so now the Baal HaBayis knows that the Ganav is coming, ready to kill.
According to Rashi, does it start with the Baal HaBayis or the Ganav?
It starts with the Baal HaBayis trying to kick the robber out of the house.
Oh, so because of that, the Baal HaBayis would kill the Ganav, right?
No.
The
Ganav would kill the Baal HaBayis.
Sorry.
The Baal HaBayis, in Rashi's scenario, the Baal HaBayis doesn't want to kill anybody.
Okay.
Baal HaBayis wants you out.
Oh,
and the Ganav says, I'm not leaving. Right? So if you try to make me leave, I'm going to kill you. So now that the Ganav has already cheshbened that out, and he comes to the house looking to kill, then the Baal HaBayis is already put in a defensive position. And he is now allowed to kill first. So on one hand, that's why I was trying to stress how bad it looks for the Baal HaBayis, because you don't see any of this actually happening. On one end, Rashi has the scenario that the Baal HaBayis is a pacifist. He has no interest in killing anybody. But he also has no interest in having his stuff stolen. So therefore, the Baal HaBayis is he's just trying to kick the guy out. It happened to a friend of mine's father one time. He was in a house. He lives in a house, and he heard a ganav going around upstairs. And I know this. I don't know him well. You know, he's my friend's father, but he's not a violent man in any way, shape, or form. He has a number of children, two boys who are both talmidei chachamim. He has I think four daughters who are either married to talmidei chachamim themselves or are very big chesed, you know, doers of chesed and neshei chayil, whatever. Like a very, very wonderful family, and not a violent man. Did not train his children to be violent in any way. And there was a ganav rummaging around his upstairs, and he came out in his pajamas, and he started screaming at the guy, you better get out of my house. He picked the guy up and threw him down the stairs, and he smashed through the screen door and ran away. True story. And when somebody's robbing your house, you have this natural, fight or flight instinct that comes into being, and apparently the chazaka is, as was borne out in this particular case, that the fight overrides the flight. It wasn't a violent fight. It was designed to be koi la'apay, to get in his face, to stop him from robbing the house. But nevertheless, the ganav, knowing this, will say, well, I don't want to be thrown down the stairs and have to smash through a screen door, right? I will kill this guy before he does that to me.
But
yes?
Would the guy threw him, would he have actually killed him?
Would he have killed him? No, so according to Rashi, the answer is no. He's not looking to kill. He's just looking to kick out, right? But the Ganav, knowing this, says, I'm not wasting all my time and energy on planning this robbery just to get thrown out the door. I'm fighting back. And that's when the Baal HaBayis gets the right to kill the Ganav. The police, Lamaisa said, don't ever do that again. The police, when they came, told the guy, said, like, just next time, pretend you're sleeping. Right? If you find a Ganav in your house, the police recommend that you pretend you're sleeping.
And let them steal stuff?
Let them steal stuff, pretend you're sleeping, and then call the police as soon as they leave. Saying that's what the police recommend. He says, because of this, meaning, in other words, the Ganavim are not, you know, even any Ganav really who has access to a weapon is a very dangerous man. Doesn't have to be trained in how to use it or anything. Saying like you can accidentally kill somebody with the right weapon, and you don't want to find out the hard way that the guy was armed, you know? So Lamaisa, this is the way Rashi wants to learn. And I mean, I think Lechora, this is the way the Rambam wants to learn as well, although we'll see a little bit later. This is the opinion of Rashi, right? That the Baal HaBayis is in no way violent. Okay. Let's take a look now in the Yad Ramah. Do you guys bring it by any chance? You guys have a Yad Ramah in general? It's a nice investment if you ever want to learn Sanhedrin. You know, the Yad Ramah is definitely an essential pirish for a lot of ways. First of all, he lays out the Gemara in very, very simple terms.
I try to understand the Aramaic.
Yeah, but once you get used to it, I'm saying, just in terms of like, his pirish is very, very clear and very exhaustive. So he explains almost every line in the flow of the Gemara, art scroll style, he doesn't always agree with all the other Rishonim, but just in terms of if you're learning Bikiyas, Yad Ramah is always a great place to go if you're stumped by the flow of the Gemara. So it's very, very kedai. I have the old school one that now they have a beautiful new one with nicer print and better footnotes footnotes, period. I recommend much more highly getting the new fancy one rather than this one. But once I already have it, you know, stick with it. So let's just read it inside. Omar Rav, my time in the Machteris, Tamar Rachmana, im b'machteris yimatzei ganef, ein lo damim, chazak ein anamam an atzmal mamono, el a toreach lahatzil b'chol dover. So that's what the Yad Ramah already starts off with a different spirit than Rashi. He says the Baal HaBayis is going to do what it takes to save his stuff. Right? Va'afilu b'navsho shel haganef. This is the question you were asking before. Even if it means killing the ganef, the Baal HaBayis will stop him. He has to stop him. V'hai ganav kevan da'asi l'mignav v'ada ilav d'dayte l'mikta le'la Baal HaBayis ki koi ba'pe lo have asi. Had the ganav not planned on killing the Baal HaBayis, he would not have shown up. Right? Why not? Why wouldn't he have come had he not come to kill? Because why would he put his own life on the line to steal something if he wasn't planning on fighting back? So the fact is, the Ganav knows that the Baal HaBayis will stop at nothing to stop him, so he must be coming to kill, because otherwise why would he have come? So l'fichach amra Torah bol argech ashkim largo. Okay, that's the Yad Ramah's pshat. So already we see the major differences between Yad Ramah and Rashi. Yad Ramah has the Baal HaBayis being the violent one. Right, the Baal HaBayis is looking to stop the Ganav. And if you interview a guy on the street, you say, listen, the guy comes into your house, tries to rob you, what are you going to do? Stop him. How are you going to stop him? Whatever it takes. Even killing him? Yeah. What's he doing in my house? It's like you open that front door, you take your life in your hands. That's the way the, you know, a little Texas justice. Right, that's the way the Yad Ramah sees the Baal HaBayis. So that being said, If that's what the Baal HaBayis is thinking, so then the Ganav is going to come in with equal intentions. He says, I know by walking in this door, I'm going to a violent environment. You fight violence with violence. And therefore, he's coming to kill. Now once he's coming to kill, then the Ganav, then the Baal HaBayis will have to kill him first. That's the Cheshbon. Not like Rashi at all. Rashi says that the Baal HaBayis is a pacifist. He's not looking to fight and kill. He's just looking to get the guy out of the house. Right? So the Ganav says, I don't want to be stopped. So I will kill. But according to the Yad Ramah, the Baal HaBayis is the one who brought violence onto the table. He's the one who put the thought of killing in the head of the ganav to begin with.
It doesn't make a difference.
What?
It wouldn't really make
Yeah, well, we'll see. Let's try to cheshbon out. Let's just get the what, and then we'll definitely be able to debate what's going on here. So right away, the Yad Ramah tells you, why do I say this? Why do I say this? He throws out a couple of reasons, and it's important that we understand his reasons. So he says, V'chi teimim kein avalei bala bayis nami rodeif. Oh, you know what? I'm not going to say that yet. Let's skip further to the end of the bala to the end of the Yad Ramah. Where is it? Oh, v'lo matzina l'meimar. Dahai dekamer chazak einod ma'amid atzma mamono dila hatzala ba'almahu. You can't say that when it says chazaka einod ma'amid atzma mamono, that just means he's going to try to save himself. He's going to try to save his stuff. V'lav la'atzule b'nafsho shalaganav. Meaning, he's saying, why don't I learn like Rashi? Why don't I learn, seemingly, to make the Baal HaBayis look like a nicer fellow than he really is? Right? You can't say that. De'imkein akati mina yadina de'daite de'ganav l'miktalei le'Baal HaBayis. Why would I then know that the mindset of the ganav is to kill the Baal HaBayis? Ki heichad de'ladayne kirodef, and therefore consider him a rodef. Hai mei maramer, I yachil nalei le'Baal HaBayis, shakil nalei le'mamone. Bal Korche, if I can overtake the Baal HaBayis, I'll take his money against his will. V'ilo shavikna le, ulamamone v'arakna. Right? So he says basically, if I don't have the opportunity, so okay, I'll run away. I'll get out of there. I'll leave him and his money alone. Ela mishim diyada be, v'Baal HaBayis diyachale katale, hilka kiyasi adaiti dekadam iyo v'katale, hilka chavale rodiv kedamran. So he says, it's only because the ganav knows that the Baal HaBayis will be violent that he decides to be violent. Otherwise, maybe we can just have two burglars arguing with each other. A burglar and a Baal HaBayis, sorry. Meaning, burglar comes in and he says, give me your money. And the Baal HaBayis says, no. So the burglar like, all right, I try. And he walks away. That's the Yad Ramah says. How do I know that the next step for the ganav is to be violent? Who says? Rashi's making that major leap. Rashi is saying that if the guy tries to stop me from robbing his house, I will kill him. Whoa. Maybe I could just say, if the guy tries to stop me from robbing his house, I'll go to the next house. Maybe they're not home. Right? Or maybe they're a little bit more timid. And they'll pretend to be sleeping and not throw me out the front door. Yeah. No, so the Yad Ramah's point is I have no choice. There has to be a point in which violence is introduced into the equation. Right. He's saying that. No, that's clearly what he's doing, because he's saying that why are you assuming that a person who's a ganav is also a murderer? It's not so. Right? He says you have to assume that when it says ain on the mamet atzma mamono, that I will not stand by and let you rob me. Really, you won't? What are you going to do about it? I'll kill you if I have to. That's when he cheshbens that the ganav says, well, this guy's willing to kill me. That means that any ganav who walks into a house is planning on taking his own life in his hands and therefore is playing for keeps. Otherwise, there is something called a ganav. Not every ganav is a rotzeach. So if we don't assume that the Baal HaBayis introduced violence into the equation, then what right do we have to assume that the ganav is a killer? That's his question.
Ganav's already doing something wrong. It's something psychologically.
Clearly, he's a ganav, right?
Right.
So, like, well, you know, all these criminal informants, right? Criminal informants. It would never fly in a halachic system, but how do they catch any and all criminals? By criminal informants. You catch a low-level crook, he gives up the next guy, he gives up the next guy, he gives up the next guy. Right? So in halacha, these guys are all pusillanimous anyway. But you have, you know, how'd they get John Gotti? Right? You ever heard of John Gotti? I'm already dating myself too much. Right? They used Sammy the Bull Gravano, right? I assume he didn't get called the Bull because he was a big Chicago Bulls fan. Like, famous mobsters. famous mobsters. The head of the mafia in New York, the New York area, was John Gotti, and his one of his big rotschim gave him up. You know, he gave the federal government the evidence that put John Gotti in prison. Right? So this guy himself was a mass murderer. You know, I'm saying so he, not as bad as the other guy, so they took him. Right? But the point is that the low-level guys, sometimes they say, listen, don't blame me. I'm just a ganav. I'm not a rotzeach. You want that guy. He's a rotzeach. Right? You don't want a ganav. So there is such a thing as a ganav who's just a ganav.
But wouldn't it make more sense to say that, hey, who has more inclination to kill? The innocent Balabais who...
So the answer is the innocent Balabais has more inclination to kill because he's in defense mode. He's saying, listen, this guy's trying, he came into my house, he's trying to take from me. This guy, the ganav, he knows what he's coming for. I'm coming for the money. I'm not coming to kill anybody. I'm coming for the money. The guy wakes up, he doesn't know what's going on. He just knows somebody's in his house trying to hurt, you know, or steal from him and his family, and he has an inclination to protect himself, protect his property, protect his family. So he's more prone to get violent than the ganav is, who's more, as we like, as the saying, he's more ois gecheshbend. He's already thought it through. You know, the ganav's already thought it through. The Balabais, he didn't think anything through. He was in the middle of a dream. He wakes up, and he sees this guy rummaging through his stuff. He doesn't know what to make of it, so he says, listen, I'm getting this guy out of the house. I'm doing what it takes. The ganav, he knows why he's there. So the Arama says, why would the Gemara make this ganav out to be a violent man? Who says he's violent?
According to the Arama, he's saying that the Balabais come to ganav not for fear of his life, like Rashi. He's saying the Chazaka has come to ganav for fear of his stuff, right?
The Balabais is killing the ganav for fear of his stuff, yes.
So, but at the end of the day, even the Arama would say we don't pass like the Chazaka.
We do paskin like the chazaka.
Doesn't he agree with Rashi in the case of if a father's son?
What do you mean by we don't paskin like the chazaka?
Meaning, if a father's coming to steal from the son, we say that the son can't kill the father because he knows his life is in danger.
Right.
His stuff still is in danger. So according to the chazaka, if you're just worried about your stuff, you would kill the person. But even the Adama would have to say, at least I think, you don't kill the Av, right?
Yeah, we'll come to that soon. But let's just worry about the basic idea.
No, but even at the end of the day, everyone would say that you can only kill the guy for fear of your life. The only thing this chazaka is doing is basically like Rashi is showing because you would kill the Gazan, and Gazan is afraid to kill you.
Right.
Rashi doesn't say that you.
The Yarama agrees you're not allowed to kill somebody just because he's trying to rob you.
Right. He's just saying
that's a fact. But because you might do it anyway.
That's why Gazan would come.
Correct.
So at the end of the day, it's arguing where it starts, but it's in reality, it's kind of the step two is the same. Gazan's coming to kill you, and it would be the same.
Correct. Meaning everyone. That's what the Gemara says. Habal lahargecha, ashkem lahargo. Right. So there are a few major questions on this, and the Yad Ramah asks the most important question. So the Yad Ramah asks the question. Wait, I just cheshbened it out in such a way that who's the rodef and who's the nirdef again? Who's the rodef? The ganav. Oh, sorry. The rodef in the Gemara is the ganav. In the Rad Ramah, like the way I played it out, the rodef's the Balabais and the ganav is the nirdav. The ganav is just trying to save his own life. Right? So, what is the answer to... You understand the kasha?
Yeah, because he has no right to be there.
Oh, so the answer is essentially, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Right? No one told you to come and rob the place. You decided you're going to put yourself in a makam sakana that made you into a murderer, and then the guy can kill you first. It's a classic, you know, like two little kids get into a fight and they all point at each other. He started, right? So the taina against the ganav is only he started, right? That's what I skipped in the Adarama. Let's go back to it for a second. V'chi tema, if you're going to say, imkein havalei balabayis nami rodef, so the balabayis is also a rodef, Balabais lav rodefu. Imishum de katale, hashta mishum de asi ihu lemikdale, hu de katale. So my amrit, ilav chazaka, de ena de mamen asma mamono. Lo have asi ihu adaiti de mikdale. Komakam balabais lo ka ovid hashta velo midi. Right? So you understand what he's saying? He's saying, the other guy started, it's the other guy's fault. Right, and if you look in the, you guys saw the Chiddush Ran? The Ran is basically the same sheet as the Yad Ramah, but just even more strongly worded, I believe. Right, it's a short little piece in the Chedush Ran here. The Ran says, right away, he summarizes what the second part of the Yarama says. Obviously, not all criminals are violent criminals. There is such a thing as a ganav. Right? It's quite possible the balabais will come, grab his money back from the ganav, and the ganav will not try to kill him. The ilo yachal ganav the migna lazel enafshe. If he can't successfully rob the guy, he'll go on his merry way. Ela balabais hu haomed kenegdo al menas laharog. The balabais is standing up to kill him. Im lo yaniach lo esakel miyad. Sha'afa pi she'eno bedin lahorgo akach. Even though the balabais would be wrong in doing so, that's important. You're not allowed to kill someone who tries to rob you. Even though the balabais would be wrong to kill him just for robbing, chazaka shenena ma'amid atzma mamono. But the chazaka states otherwise. The chazaka is that the mitzias is not in accordance with the halacha. The haganav shehu yodea zek ishu omed kenegdo al iske nefashis hu omed. V'hu shehischil b'meriba. Oh, that's the line. V'hu shehischil b'meriba. He's the guy who started the fight. Ubab machteres asal akasav rodei v'amar shein lo damim. And that's why the Torah makes it as if he's a walking dead man. You shouldn't have started the fight if you weren't prepared to finish it. Right? And therefore, even though the balabais is acting shelo kedin, he's doing the wrong thing, still the Torah says the balabais is the nirdaf and the ganav is the rodef. So now, based on the, I think the Rishonim themselves gave you the Nekudas HaMachlokas. They showed you why they're arguing. What's the reason that they're arguing? What would Rashi say back to the Yadrama and the Ran?
The balabais has more inclination to kill than the gazel.
Meaning, I don't know, Lechora, Rashi would argue, the Torah is not there to protect Rishon. The Torah's job is not to protect a murderous balabais. If the balabais is the one who brought the gun, and the only reason that the ganav brings a gun is because the balabais brought the gun first, then the balabais is not considered a nirdaf, he's considered a rodef. You can't tell me that the balabais is just allowed to get up and say, if you don't get out of my house, I will shoot you. So listen, the Ran said clearly, that's shelo kedin, I agree with you. That's shelo kedin, it's not right. But Lamaisa, that's what he says. He says that even though the balabais is not allowed to do that, Lamaisa he will. And there are enough balabatim who will do that, that the ganav now becomes a violent criminal. Because he's afraid of his life. He knows he's in a dangerous business, and he has to take the precautions. And therefore, he comes to kill. And Rashi says, what do you mean? If the balabais is the one who made the ganav violent, the balabais is just as big a rodef as the ganav. Who cares who started? We care who's guilty. Right? So and Rashi thinks it's all tully in who's guilty and who's innocent. And the Yaraman and Ran say it's all about who started. Who's guilty? They're actually both equally guilty. The balabais and the ganav are both equally guilty. Right? It's just a question of who started. The ganav started, so he loses. This case itself is a big nafkamina. Meaning, if the balabais is the one who introduced the violence into the equation, in general, if you start to do something shelo kedin and it leads to you killing the other guy because you started doing something shelo kedin,
maybe according to Rashi, maybe the chachir you're already about to kill him because he's
According to Ron, we're saying that in general it's bad to start out doing it. But
no, but let's just take the actual case. Let's take the actual case for a second. Guy comes up to you on the street and he looks at you funny. You can tell he's unarmed. Like, what's his name? This is when I was a little kid. There was a guy, Bernard Goetz. Anybody ever heard of him? You ever heard of the Billy Joel song, We Didn't Start the Fire?
Yeah.
So he got a line, AIDS, crack, Bernie Goetz, right? That's one of the lines. So Bernie Goetz was this New Yorker, and somebody came over to him on the subway, unarmed, said he had a screwdriver in his pocket, and tried to rob him on the subway and gets pulled out a gun and shot the guy. So that's the Yad-Rama and the Ran. No?
It's not Bab Machteris.
Okay, so let's, you know, make it Bab Machteris now. So he was a public hero, he was applauded by the public, but Lamaisa, did he do the right thing or the wrong thing? So his whole defense was, I thought that he had a weapon. Right? But just to say that I have the right to protect myself at all costs, that if somebody wants to get my wallet, I should shoot him, so that makes him a criminal.
That's, yeah, but even the point of Rashi, the inquiry is not after killing him, though.
What?
Even the point of Rashi, the guy about Maftej is still after killing.
No, but now let's take it to the next step. Now this guy takes out the screwdriver from his pocket and stabs Getz. Right? Did he do the right thing or the wrong thing? The criminal. So Rashi might say the criminal was in the right for stabbing him. Because the criminal was not a Rodef. Getz was a Rodef.
Rashi says the other way. Rashi says that the guy Getz was never going to kill him. Getz is just going
to hunt him. I'm trying to tell you, given the Metzius is the same. If the Metzius would be the same, the Yad Ramah and Rashi would analyze the case differently.
There's no time machine. You don't know what's going to happen. I think they're arguing over what is the standard.
Let's pretend we know the Metzius for a second.
I think the Machlokes is, what is the Hazakah? What do we see?
You're 100% right. But then it plays out as a Nafgamina when we actually would know the Metzius. Meaning,
how you ever know what's
the guy tells you, saying, the guy shows up on the subway, this guy Bernie gets riding the subway with a gun. The ganav comes over to him not knowing he has a gun. This is the 10th guy he's robbed today on the subway. Right? He comes to him in a subway tunnel to make him above Machteris. Right? So he comes over to him and he says, give me your money, unarmed. But he has a screwdriver in his pocket. He was planning on fixing his kitchen sink later. So he says, give me your money. Getz pulls out a gun, says, you better get away from me or I will shoot you. Or not you better get away from me. He just says, you're a dead man. Then the criminal, fearing for his life, stabs Getz and runs away and takes the money. Who did the right thing? Who did the wrong thing? Except for the money part. Right? Who did the right thing? Who did the wrong thing? The Yad Ramah will say, the criminal is a ganav and a rotzeach. He was just saving his own life. No. He started the ball rolling. He is now a 100% murderer. Rashi would argue, he's not a murderer, he's a ganav. He's not a murderer. Why? Because he didn't come aliskei nefashos, and Getz had no right to pull a gun on him.
Right, I mean, in the classic case of Bava Machteris, even with Rashi Tachili, you can kill him.
Correct. But when the cards are all on the table, that's when you see the nafkamina between the two shitas and the Rishonim. You understand?
Since what's called Getz did Shalakuddin, they still agree that Shalakuddin, and meaning, but if you kill him, we allow it because we still view him as a nidah. But if now the other guy kills him, he's still considered a tzeach, even according to the Ran.
If the ganav kills the balabais according to the Ran and the Yad Ramah, because the balabais did something Shalakuddin, the ganav is still a rotzeach. But it sounds like, according to Rashi, you could argue that if the ganav kills the guy because the guy did something shelo kedin, then the ganav is not a rotzeach. He's a nirdef who defended himself.
It would be very hard to get that case. Yeah.
Again, I gave you a pretty straight scenario, which actually happened.
Right.
Well, Lamaisa. Yeah?
So Rashi says the guy can defend himself.
Rashi says the guy can defend himself. Right? Of course the guy can defend himself. Let's not forget. The standard case above Machteris, none of this actually happens. This is all existing in the hypothetical realm. Hypothetically, the ganav knows that the balabai is not going to allow himself to be robbed. So hypothetically, the ganav thinks the balabai is going to try to kick him out. So he comes to kill. He comes to do anything it takes to get that robbery to be successful. Right? So what happens? All this being in the background, that's why I said at the beginning of Shir, if you just had a video, it would look like the balabai is a murderer and the ganav is a tzaddik. Except for the fact that he's a ganav. Right? Because the balabai slips in behind him and cuts his throat. That's all that happens. Because this is all, this whole cheshbon is in the hypothetical. Right? So, in this hypothetical scenario, there's no way to tell the difference between Rashi on one hand and the Ran and the Arama on the other hand. But, in the scenario that I just laid out for you, there's a major nafkamina between who's right and who's wrong.
Right.
Yeah?
I think there's another nafkamina. But first of all, I think it's possible that Rashi could hold the same thing as Iran in terms of, in this case, but the only difference between the two is what he thinks the regular, the norm is. He thinks the chazaka is that the Baal Bais won't fight back. But if the Baal Bais did fight back, then he would hold the same thing, that it's possible he holds the same thing as Iran or whatever.
Hard to say because the Yadarma's kashas are very strong. The Yadarma has a very strong taina, which is, who put the gun in the ganav's hand? Who says the ganav is violent all of a sudden? It's a very strong taina against Rashi. The Yadarma says, I'm compelled to explain it this way. I have no choice, because otherwise, where does the ganav come off being violent all of a sudden? Many ganavim would just turn and run. So it must be that the ganav is assuming the Baal Bais is going to act shalok kedin, because the average Baal Bais will act shalok kedin. That's the idea. So the chazaka says, listen, we don't support your actions, but we respect them and we understand them. Right? And Rashi would say, we don't respect and understand that. You can't do the wrong thing and thereby put a gun in the ganav's hand. So if you then put a gun in the ganav's hand and you kill the ganav because of that, ridiculous! You're a murderer.
According to both, whatever you read the chazaka, isn't it just someone's got to die?
Yes, the guys. So
whether it's Rashi or the Adar Mas, someone has to die.
Yeah, but who's the murderer? That's a big deal.
But someone's getting killed, right? They're both saying that. No matter where you say it starts, someone's dying.
Again, that's why I'm trying to stress. In the Gemara scenario, there isn't really an afkamina between Rashi and the Adar Ma. But once you change around the variables...
Even if we're going to get to scenario, I mean, if you change around the variables, it's you can still say, you know, like, oh, this will say that and so on, and someone has to die in the end, right? Meaning, once you say the chazaka...
Yeah, but is the guy going to be tried as a murderer or as a guy who's acted in self-defense? That's a huge difference. If the ganav kills Getz, according to Rashi, he's a murderer. I'm sorry, according to Rashi, he was acting in self-defense. And according to the Adar Ma, he's a murderer. I'm saying it right. And according to the Arama, he's a murderer.
Not necessarily.
All right, guys, I think you got to go. But is lunch regular time?
Yeah.
Okay, think about what I'm saying. Just remember two important things that I've said about five times. Remember that in the said scenario, it doesn't matter if Rashi and the Arama are right. It's only once the variables change that we ask ourselves, does the Gemara give us a chazaka where the Baal HaBayis is acting shelo kedin, and the Baal HaBayis still comes out on top, or no? The Baal HaBayis acting shelo kedin means the Baal HaBayis does not get to win this one. Now that the Baal HaBayis is acting shelo kedin, the ganav is just as much in the right as the Baal HaBayis. So that's the basic machlokes Rishonim we had so far. Okay, tomorrow I want to see the Rambam Shita. I'll make some copies. My first Hebrew books success story. I got the Evan Ozel on the Rambam. We could decide whether or not we like the shot of Evan Ozel tomorrow, okay?